The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
I'm going to talk about the steering wheel of your life and destiny may very well be in your mouth. We've got scriptures on this, guys, so I think you're going to really enjoy this broadcast. I want to share some stuff with you, and that's what we're going to go to right now. So if you'd like to follow along with me, I'm going to pull these scriptures up right there on your screen. If you have a Bible, you can follow along, but I'm going to be reading from the New King James. This is going to be where I'm going to go for our foundational scripture tonight. Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. Now, this message, I shared this message Friday night at my local church, my own church that I attend and serve. This was a message I delivered on Friday night to our youth group, and I felt compelled because we got so much of a response from the adults there as well. So this is why we're sharing this, because this is a very powerful revelation, revelatory, equipping message. And there's so much just in this one passage, Proverbs 18:21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And I brought this out the other night. I want to talk about this. If you've ever seen a snake, you'll know that it has a forked tongue. It has a forked tongue or a split tongue. So it has a left side and a right side. And I'm going to tell you, every single individual, we have the capability to have a left side and a right side of our tongue. And I'd like to say it like this in Proverbs 18:21. It depicts, or it tells us, that we have the ability, we have the power, and we have the capacity to speak life one side or death the other side. So I want to bring this back up because I want to show you something else here that I find intriguing. And if it'll just cooperate with me for just a second here. Hold on for a second, guys. Let me go back to this. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. So what fruit are we eating of? Well, it tells you here, those who love it, love what? Death or life. So if you love death, you will eat its fruit. If you like life, you will eat of its fruit. So again, what are we speaking? What is coming forth out of our mouths? Every single day, you and I are given a choice. We're given a decision to speak life or to speak death. Watch this. Let me go on here. Proverbs 18:20. A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his what? Of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled. This may not do anything for you, but to me, this is fascinating. It's very intriguing. So in other words, what we're releasing out of our mouth is going to be what satisfies us. It's what's going to fill us up with. It's what's going to sustain us. And we will be filled with the fruits of our lips. Now, look, I said this Friday night, and I'll say it again, Romans 10:6-10. Listen, guys, we can't even be saved. We can't even be born again without the marriage of the mouth and the heart. You're going to see this all through this message today, this teaching. This is really a teaching more than a message. You're going to discover that there is a marriage between the mouth or the words that we speak and our heart. And without this marriage, we can't even be saved. Look at this, Romans 10:6-10. But the righteousness of faith speaks. Are you seeing that? It speaks. The righteousness of faith speaks in this way. Do not say, again, words. Do not say in your heart, who will ascend to heaven? And that is to bring Christ down from above. Or who will descend into the abyss? And that is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. Where's it at? Look at this, verse 8, in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith which we preach. It's interesting because people say, people always tag word of faith as a denomination or as an organization. But word of faith was first mentioned, and there is what's called a law of first mention. And it's basically the process of proper hermeneutics and discerning and properly breaking down scripture. There's what's called the law of first mention. The word of faith here, Romans 10, 8 is mentioned. It says that is the word of faith which we preach. So again, notice it says the word of faith which we preach, the apostles preach this. The apostle Paul wrote this in Romans 10. And he says, this is the word of faith, which we preach. That, and then he tells you, he breaks it down what it is. That if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart. See that? There's that marriage of the mouth and the heart. That God has raised him from the dead. You will be saved. For here it is, for with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Do you guys see that? So again, you can't even be saved unless there is a marriage between the heart and the mouth. I like to say it like this. When you're truly born again and when you're truly saved, you're going to desire to testify of the Lord. You're going to desire to open your mouth and share your testimony. You're going to desire to preach Christ, witness Christ. You're going to share your faith. The Bible says in the book of Revelation, they overcame the devil by the blood of the Lamb and the word of thy testimony. The blood of the Lamb and the word of thy testimony. How powerful is that? So that's what I want to show you here is how powerful this is. But we're just started on this thing, guys. Because wait till I show you some more profound things here. Let's move on. I want to show you this because I really think you're going to find this fascinating. Let's talk about water for just a second here. Water. Water is the key element in the world. Without it, life itself is impossible. All organisms are composed mostly of water. From 80 to 99% of all organisms on the earth are composed of water. Listen to this. Up to 60% of the human adult body is water. Look at this graph that you're seeing in front of you here. You see the age demographics here. From 0 to 1 years of age, the body is 86% made of water. And then from 5 years of age to 14%, it goes down to 75%. And as we get older, it gradually goes down. You see 20 to 35 years of age, it's 65%. 40 to 50 years of age, it's 55%. And then 60 to 80 years of age, it's 50%. So I'm going to tell you, just from this assessment, it is safe to say that our bodies are made up predominantly of 50% water. Now you say, why is that important? Because you're going to find this out why this is important when we get into this. According to H.H. Mitchell, Journal of Biological Chemistry, the brain and heart are composed of 73% water and the lungs are 83% water. Let me say that again. The brain, heart, and lungs, all mentioned here, by H.H. Mitchell, Journal of Biological Chemistry, the brain and heart are composed of about 73% of water, and the lungs are made up of 83% water. The skin contains roughly about 64% water. Muscles and kidneys are 79%. Even the bones are made up of 31% water. Here's why this is important. Many years ago, a Japanese scientist named Masaru Emoto did an experiment, and he discovered how sound was absorbed. And he, in fact, he found that water can absorb and store sound effects using a powerful electron microscope. In other words, he took a powerful electron microscope, looked at water molecules under the microscope. Are you following me? Underneath the microscope. And he looked at under the microscope, and he was able to see at that point what he was looking at. Now, what kind of experiment did he do? Emoto showed how much frozen water's structure depends on the sounds absorbed. In his experiment, he exposed water to different words, music, names, prayers, and etc. And then he photographed the way the water crystallized when it was frozen. Let me show you this. This is absolutely phenomenal. And I definitely want to show you this. What you're seeing right here on your screen, if you're watching by podcast, I want to encourage you to go to our YouTube channel, End Time Headlines, pull this message up, watch this, watch the illustration, because you've got this does no justice by just listening in itself. So Dr. Emoto took petri dishes of waters of different water molecules, and he put water here and he put water there, and he would take one tray and he would speak words like thank you and love and appreciation and blessing and words of positivity. He would speak these words over these water molecules. And then under the microscope, he looked, and you can see on this picture here, this illustration, you could see that it's a beautiful imagery, almost like a beautiful snowflake. Absolutely beautiful. Even certain names, such as he said Mother Teresa, and it projected a beautiful picture. However, he then took another tray of water, and he began to speak words like, you make me sick, or I will kill you, or words of negativity. And look at the difference on your screen here. Look at the above. The molecule structures begin to shape, and it begin to contort, and it begin to display more hideous, more broken down, decombobulated imagery of the molecules. And then he even certain music was played. He played Mozart. He played contemporary classical music that was very soothing, and it didn't affect the water like this. But then he played heavy metal music, such as deathcore, heavy metal, black metal, words of negativity, words of music that had death. Come on, somebody. Words and lyrics of death, and you see the results of that. Then he spoke the name Adolf Hitler, and you could see what the imagery looks like here. This is, guys, again, to me, this was profound. This was absolutely profound. And we should not be shocked by this. When I was putting this together, I remembered distinctively. I want to pull up some scripture here. Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6. When we go to Joshua chapter 6, you will see here where this, I believe Joshua had a revelation of what I'm telling you, what I'm showing here. Watch this. Let me give you a little bit of a backdrop. When Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt, he led them into the wilderness. We all know the story. What did the children of Israel do? The Bible says they begin to murmur. They begin to complain. They begin to speak negative. They begin to speak against the leadership. And as a result of that, the Bible says in the New Testament, God, as a result of their murmuring and complaining, by the way, which comes from your mouth, from your lips, as a result of this, the Bible says that God rose up serpents among them to bite them and devour them. And most of that entire generation never lived to enter into the promised land. In fact, God wiped them out. And Moses never made it into the promised land. But Joshua, who represents the next generation, came up and led, come on, their descendants of that previous generation who never made it because of their complaining, their murmuring, and it caused them to be destroyed in the wilderness. Now there's a new generation of believers or Israelites coming up, and Joshua is leading them. And then you get into the book of Joshua chapter 6. Listen what this says. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said unto Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and the mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. This is God speaking to Joshua, giving him instructions. You shall go all around the city once. This you will do 6 days, and seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of rams, horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priests shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that all the people shall shout with a great shout, and then the wall of the city will fall down flat, and the people shall go up every man straight before him. So this is what the Lord told Joshua and instructed him to do with the children of Israel, to enter into the gates or enter into Jericho and claim the spoils and get the victory. Watch this. And then Joshua, the son of Nun, called the priests and said it to them. So now he's going to relay the instructions. He's going to begin to implement them. He says, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests say to them, take up the Ark of the Covenant and let seven priests bear seven trumpets of ram horns before the Ark of the Lord. And he said to the people, listen to this, proceed and march around the city, and let him who is armed advance before the Ark of the Lord. So it was when Joshua had spoken to the people that seven priests bearing the seven trumpets of ram horns before the Lord advanced and blew the trumpets, and the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord followed them. The armed men went before the priests who blew the trumpets, and the rear guard came after the Ark while the priests continued blowing the trumpets. Listen to this next part in Joshua 6:10. Now Joshua had commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout, and then you shall shout. You want to know why Joshua told them that? Here's the answer. Joshua just saw a whole generation die in the wilderness under the leadership of Moses because they murmured, they complained. Listen, they opened their mouth and it caused them death and destruction, and it caused a whole generation not to enter into the promise that God had for them. So Joshua said, we ain't making the same mistake with this generation. You're going to keep your mouth shut. You're not going to murmur. You're not going to complain. You're not going to shout. You're not going to make a peep. Nothing is going to come out of your mouth until you are instructed to open your mouth. And then and only then will you open your mouth. And at that time, you will shout. And when you do, God will give us the victory. Come on, somebody. What am I talking about? I'm talking about there is power in our tongues to either steer us in our destiny and steer us to our promised land and steer us to our breakthrough and what we're believing God for, or it can cause us to, come on, to fall short, be hindered, or wander like the children of Israel did 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness and never see your promise come to pass. I don't know about you, but I want to heed these lessons. I want to hear these and obey these and put these into practice. All right. So I want to show you something else here. Watch this. Let's go to Matthew chapter 8. Watch this in the New Testament. What I want to show you this being presented in the New Testament. Now, when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him, pleading with him, "Lord, my servant is lying at home paralyzed and dreadfully tormented." And Jesus said unto him, "I will come and heal him." Look at the response of the centurion. He answered and said, "Lord, I'm not worthy that you should even come under my roof, but only speak a word and my servant will be healed." Listen, this centurion understood what I'm teaching you today. He said, "Look, I'm a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this one, go, and he goes. And I say to another one, come, and he comes. And to my servant, do this, and he does it." And when Jesus heard this, he marveled and said to those who followed him, that would be his disciples and all those who were with him, "Assuredly I say unto you, I have not found such great faith, not even in Israel." And then he goes on, I'm just going to skip over a little bit of this. In verse 13, he says, "And Jesus said unto the centurion, go your way, and as you have believed," there's the marriage of the word and the heart. "Go your way, as you have believed, so let it be done for you." And his servant was healed the same hour. Wait a minute, as you believed? So what did he believe? Go back up to the scripture. The centurion said, "Only speak the word and it shall be done." But if you read this, nowhere does it say, the only thing that Jesus said to him was, "Go your way, and as you have believed, it shall be done for you." Good gosh, guys, are you getting this revelation that I'm trying to teach you today? In other words, the centurion had already believed in his heart, and all he said was, "Lord, just speak the word and it's going to be done." Whatever you say, you could say one word, healed, and he's healed. You could say three words and he'll be healed. Remember, he said, "Lazarus, come forth," and Lazarus came forth. This centurion understood what I'm showing you today. You want some more? Let me give you some more examples of this. Mark 11, 12 through 14. This is speaking of Jesus with the disciples. "Now the next day, when they had come out from Bethany, he," in reference to Jesus, "was hungry. And seeing from afar off a fig tree having leaves, he went to see if perhaps he could find some on it. And when he came to it, he found nothing but leaves, for it was not the season for figs. And in response, Jesus said to it," he's speaking to a tree, "let no one eat from you ever again." And the Bible says his disciples heard it. Now listen, think about this, guys. If you were with this guy, if you were with this rabbi, this teacher, the Messiah, the Son of Man, this guy is having a conversation with a tree, and he just cursed a tree and spoke to it and said, may you never bear fruit again. Wouldn't you think this guy has lost his mind? I mean, come on. This guy was in a boat and he was screaming at a storm and rebuked the winds and it obeyed him. And now he's yelling at a tree. This guy has lost his mind. No, he's not lost his mind. He is teaching you and I a principle. And you say, "Well, this was Jesus. Only Jesus can do this." Really? Well, let's read on. Let's read it in your Bible. "Now in the morning, as they passed by, they saw the fig tree dried up from the roots." You know, the one that Jesus spoke of. "And Peter, remembering, said to him, Rabbi, look, the fig tree which you cursed has withered away." And look at the response of Jesus. Jesus didn't say, "I know, I'm Jesus, Peter. I am the Son of God, and I can speak to a tree and curse it, and it can die." That's not what he said. Listen to what he says. So Jesus answered and said unto them, have faith in God. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain. Now you say, what is a mountain? A mountain is whatever you're facing. What is your obstacle? What is your hindrance? What is the thing that's standing in your way? Is it an infirmity? Is it a marital issue? Is it a financial issue? Is it an impossibility in your business? Is it a doctor's diagnosis? What is it that's impossible? What is the mountain that you're facing? Listen what Jesus said. He said, whosoever says to this mountain, says, meaning you have to open your mouth. You have to speak to that mountain. He says, you open your mouth, you speak to it, and you say, quote, be removed and cast into the sea. And if you do not doubt in your heart, but believe that those things in which you say will be done, he will have whatsoever he says. Golly, guys, this is so powerful. It says, speak, saying. It's all with the words of our mouths. Therefore, I say unto you, whatsoever things you ask, that involves your mouth. When you pray, involving your mouth, believe that you receive them. There's the marriage of the mouth and the heart. Believe that you receive them and you will have them. Come on, I wish somebody would get happy with me today. I'm trying to build your faith today. I'm trying to build your faith today. Let me give you another one. I'll pull this one up here too on the screen. Let's go over here to Matthew 8, 23 through 27. Now, when he got into a boat, this is Jesus again, his disciples followed him. And suddenly, we've just talked about this, a great tempest arose on the sea so that the boat was covered with the waves, but he was asleep. And his disciples came to him and awoke him, saying, Lord, save us. We're perishing. We're about to die. But he said to them, why are you fearful? Oh, you have little faith. And then he arose, look what he did, and rebuked the winds and the sea. Now, I want to ask you something. How do you think he rebuked the wind and the sea? Do you think he did a little meditation? No. Do you think he pulled out the Torah, the books of Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy? You think he pulled that out, just read a couple chapters, and the storm just conveniently went away? No, he rose up, opened his mouth, and spoke with authority and commanded the winds and the sea to calm. The Bible says there was a great calm after he did this, so that men in the boat even marveled and said, who could this be that even the winds and seas obey him? Now, I want to show you something else. After seeing these experiments on water, there was one individual that was so moved and fascinated by this experiment that they said, if this works on water, I wonder if it will work on plants. So they went out into their yard and found two weeds that were identical in size, they were both the same kind of weed, same kind of size, same soil, everything. They found two exact similar containers, both with the same amount of soil, both with the same type of soil, both equally watered, both equally amount of sunlight, everything. Environment was the same, et cetera, et cetera. Now I want to pull this up. This is fascinating to say the least. At least I believe it is. I think there's going to be many that's going to see. So here's the two containers. On the left, they took a piece of paper and they taped it around the container in which they put the plant in, and they spoke negative words or words of death, bitterness, worthless, sickness, hopeless, lack, wither up and die, Adolf Hitler, concentration camps, I want you to die, suicide, regret, sin, sinful, you're stupid. All these negative words of death, doubt, unbelief, etc. on the right side here of your screen, they took the other plant and they put a piece of paper around it, and they took a black marker and they wrote Jesus Christ. They wrote Yeshua. You will do great things. Psalms 23. Blessings, health, wellness, let there be light, love. You will be strong, tall, and beautiful. You will see fulfillment, peace, promises, everlasting life. And to the surprise and the absolute bewilderment of the individual who conducted this experiment, after I can't remember how many days he did this experiment. I think it was over a period of 30 days. He noticed that the weed on the right that was blessed and had all the words of life spoken over it and labeled, come on, what do you let label you? Who do you let label you? Began to flourish. It began to prosper. And it began to grow taller and more lush. On the other hand, look at, you can even see it, see this in this picture on the left. This plant did not grow. It began to wither. It began to die. Look, here's an outside shot of this. Again, to the right of your screen, you will see the plant in which had the words of life spoken over it and labeled on it. Whereas on the left, you saw a plant that was labeled with words of bitterness, worthlessness, doubt, hope. It was death. You could see this evident difference. Look at this aerial shot from above. This is profound. When I was putting this together, I remembered a story about a great evangelist, and I'm not going to name him by names because every time, sure enough, as well as I name him by name, you'll get somebody, and I don't want the whole the forum or the thread here going into whether you like him or you don't like him or what you've got your opinion. I don't want to get into that. It's relevant. But the point is, this individual was he was used by God in the 1940s and 50s and 60s. And he had a room in which he would pray in. Every day he would pray in this room and he would speak the word of God. He would just pray. He would pray according to the word, speak the word. And he had plants in this room in which they always flourished. They always bloomed. They always was lively, and they didn't wither and they stayed healthy. And his wife noticed that the plants that were in other rooms were not as healthy. They weren't as strong. They weren't as vibrant, and they weren't as growing as tall and healthy as the other one. So she said, I wonder what this is. So she conducted an experiment and began to take those plants and put them in the same room as her husband when he would pray and when he would speak words and speak the word of God. And to her surprise, those plants, without putting any kind of miracle grow or anything to stimulate them, were, in about 2 to 3 weeks, she noticed they begin to green up again. They begin to grow more. They begin to bloom more again. So she was convinced at that point that the word of God is true when it says that the power of life and death is in the tongue. Look at this, guys. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. For out of the heart speaks blasphemies. Out of the heart speaks idolatries, idleness, abominations, wickedness, lust, gossip, slander. All these things come out of what? The heart. But it comes out of your mouth. Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. There's that marriage of the mouth and the heart that I've been talking about. So I asked the question one time. I asked the Lord. I said, God, if these things are coming out of the heart, how did they get there in the first place? And I want to show you what I felt like the Lord shared with me that day that I asked this. And this is found, I may not have the scripture for this. Here it is, Philippians 4:8-9. the Apostle Paul is speaking to the church of Philippi, and he says, finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are noble, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report. Did you get that? True, noble, just, pure, lovely, good report. Six things here. If there is any virtue and if there's anything praiseworthy, meditate on these things. If you got to write them down, put them on your refrigerator, put them on your mirror, highlight them, whatever it is, six things. Meditate on these things. The things which you learned and received and heard and saw in me, these do, and the God of peace will be with you. So in other words, look at me. I'm going to pull this out so you can, I want to talk to you for a second. So in other words, the assessment of this is whatever we feed our soul, and our soul is our mind, will, and emotions. A lot of the warfare and a lot of the issues and the strongholds and the bondages and the addictions that we struggle with is because of what we feed our flesh and what we feed our soul, our mind, will, and emotions. In other words, what are we watching? What are we listening to? What are we looking at? What are we feeding our eye gates, feeding our ear gates? What we allow to come into the ear gate and into the eye gate goes down and fills the chambers of our heart. I'm not talking about your physical beating heart and your chest. I'm talking about your spiritual heart, your spirit man. It goes down and it feeds this inner man. So if you're sitting around all day feeding negativity or bad report or negative news, this is why we've said before, if you got to turn the news off, turn it off. Because it's all negative. It's all going to be doubt and unbelief and death and despair and doom and gloom and destruction. Or are you getting into the word and filling your heart with good things, praiseworthy things, of a good report? What's the word of the Lord say about these things? You shall live and not die and declare the works of the Lord our God. You shall prosper in all that you put your hand to do. You shall be the head and not the tail, and above and not beneath. You shall lend and not borrow. For I know the thoughts that I have for you, says the Lord. They're thoughts of good and not of evil, to give you a future, to give you a hope, and to give you an expected end. This is what we need to be meditating on. This is what we need to be speaking out of our mouths and speaking over ourselves and speaking over our spouses and speaking over our children and speaking over our situation. Why? Because it's life. But I've given you the power of life and death in the tongue. So who are we coming in partnership with? Are we coming in partnership with life? Are we coming in partnership with death? Now I want to share with you, and think about this, guys. We're seeing this. We see this all the time in our everyday lives. Our tongues are capable of gossip, slander, defamation, discord, doubt, negativity, sickness. I don't think, guys, can I just be real? I don't think we really comprehend or realize just in casual conversations. Some of you get sick every year, but you expect it. And you say, well, I don't expect to get sick. Listen to your mouth. Well, you know, the flu is going around and every year I get it, so I'll probably get it. Are you kidding me? Listen what you just said. Let me back up, rewind. Well, you know, the flu is going around every year. And you know what you should have said right there? You should have said, but the word of the Lord says in Psalms 91, no pestilence, no plague shall come nigh thy dwelling. I am healed by his stripes. By his stripes I'm healed. His healing is the children's bed. If I obey and heed his commandments and do what he's told me to do, the Bible says he'll take sickness and disease from the midst of my bread, and he'll bless my water. He'll bless these things. We're speaking the word. But instead we say, you know, that flu goes around every year, and every year I get it. And it's probably going to come knocking at my door, so I'll probably get it. In other words, what you're saying is when the flu does come to your door and it does come knocking at your door, you're not going to ignore it. You're going to open the door and you're going to let it come right on in. Why? Because you've already been expecting it. We do it all the time, guys. Well, you know, it's just part of life. Well, is that what the Word of God says? Is it really just part of life? Well, you know, as you get older, your body just breaks down, Brother Ricky. Well, I don't receive that. I went to the chiropractor Friday, and my chiropractor was shocked. He said, you know, he said, it's pretty amazing. He said, you're 43 going on 44 years of age, and usually about your age, you start seeing little bitty traces of arthritis coming in your back and showing up in your bones and showing up in your body. He said, but there's no trace of it. And I said, praise the Lord. Praise God. And I give God the glory, and also praise God for his wisdom on how to eat and what to eat, what not to eat. Come on. Hosea said, my people are destroyed from lack of knowledge. Let me give you another example. This is profound. I'm going to pull up another picture here for you guys. This man on the screen of your screen here is a man. He was a great man. He was a Puritan preacher from the 1700s. He had a powerful legacy. He was a powerful speaker. He was instrumental in, at least I know of one of the great awakenings in history. He was known to preach a message called Sinners in the Hands of an Angry God. I'm talking about Jonathan Edwards. And when people heard him preach this, they believed he was a hard preacher. Hell, fire, and brimstone. No mercy, no grace, no compassion. But that was the farthest from the truth. In fact, at the turn of the 20th century, American educator and pastor A.E. Winship decided to trace out the descendants of Jonathan Edwards nearly 150 years after Edwards died. And this is what he discovered. This was profound. He discovered during the time in which he conducted the study, or during the time of Edwards' influence, there was another man by the name, who was very well known by the name of Max Jukes. Jukes left a legacy of a family tree that consisted of 42 different men in the New York prison system that traced back to Max Jukes. However, Winship did a study on Jonathan Edwards and wanted to discover his lineage and discover his legacy. And what he discovered was he found out that Jonathan Edwards, every single day, he would take his children, he would line them up, put them in chairs, and he would lay hands on them and speak life over them, speak blessing over them, speak their destiny out, and speak the word of God over them. And he would speak words of affirmation over them. Every single day, he would bless them and not curse them, every single day. And as a result of this, Winship was stunned when he discovered that Jonathan Edwards' godly legacy consisted of one U.S. vice president, three U.S. senators, three governors, three mayors, 13 college presidents, 30 judges, 65 professors, 80 public office holders, 100 lawyers, and 100 missionaries. But Max Jukes, his descendants included 7 murders, 60 thieves, 50 women of debauchery, 130 convicts, 310 paupers, and over 2,300 years lived in poorhouses, 400 who were physically wrecked by indulgent living. And it was estimated that Max Jukes' descendants alone cost the state more than $1.2 million. What am I talking about today? I'm talking about the power of life and death, the power of life and death in the tongue that resides in your mouth. And we have the ability every day. I'm going to finish this and read you one last scripture. It would be fitting to read this. It's out of the book of James. And I've got to read this. And this is found in James chapter 3, verse 2. James 3, verse 2. And then we're going to pray for you guys. James 3, 2. For we all stumble in many things. And if anyone does not stumble in word, he is a perfect, or that word Greek, in the Greek there, perfect means mature. He is a mature man. Able also to bridle the whole body. Indeed, listen to this. We put bits in horses' mouths and they may obey us. We turn their whole body. Look also at ships. Though they are so large and are driven by fierce winds, they are turned by a very small rudder wherever the pilot desires. Even so, the tongue is a little member and boasts great things. In other words, your tongue is your steering wheel. It's going to, listen, your tongue is the rudder, or it's the steering wheel, and it's going to take you either in a path of life or it's going to take you down a path of destruction. Listen to this. See how great a forest a little fire kindles, and the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. The tongue is so set among our members that it defiles the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature, and it sets on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and creature of the sea is tamed and has been tamed by mankind, but no man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil full of deadly poison. With it we bless our God and Father, and with it we curse men who have been made in the image of God. Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. Did you see that? Blessing, cursing. I told you it's like a forked tongue. Life, death. Blessing, cursing. Listen what James said. Out of the mouth proceeds blessing and cursing. My brethren and sisters, we could throw your sisters in there too. These things should not be. These things should not be. Does a spring send forth fresh water and bitter water from the same opening? Can a fig tree, my brethren, bear olives, or a grapevine bear figs? Thus, no spring yields both salt water and fresh water. You may be watching this program today, listening to this podcast, whatever the case may be, and what I've spoken to you has just kind of rocked your world. I want to recap just for 25 seconds. Something to your memory. Remember, a scientist did an experiment on water and discovered that water molecules can retain sound, and it can actually alter and change their molecular structure based on what kind of words it's being spoken over them. Guys, listen, if our bodies are made up of 50% or more of water, what do you think words are doing to our physical bodies, our organs? Why do you think people are walking around with sickness, walking around with infirmities, walking around depressed, walking around with suicidal depression and all kinds of things? Because we allow these words to come and set root and set part into our heart, into our bodies, and affect us. Listen, one of the greatest lies that was ever perpetrated, one of the greatest lies that was ever perpetrated was this, and that is that sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. That is absolutely false. That is not true, because words do have power and they can hurt you and affect you. Come on, can I get an amen from somebody? So here's what we're going to do today, guys. This is what we did to our youth group on Friday night. This is what we did to our youth group on Friday night. And I apologize for it freezing up there for a second. We had individuals, we had kids there. We had parents there, even parents. We had kids and we had parents that were there in the congregation, and They had never had words of confirmation spoken over them. Never had words of confirmation spoken over them. It was cursing. It was negativity. It was doubt. It was unbelief. It was, you'll never amount to anything. Listen, I can relate to that. I didn't grow up in a Christian home. I grew up in a home that where words were spoken of negativity and doubt and unbelief. And these things were, they affected me even as growing up as an adult. And these things set root in our hearts for myself. And this is why once I got saved, I got into the Word, and I got into the Word of God, and I began to discover, what does God's Word say to me? What does God's Word say about me? What does it speak over me? So today, if you're listening to this, watching this podcast, listen to this broadcast, and you can relate to me, what I'm telling you. Maybe you grew up in a household, you grew up under a father, grew up under a mother, grew up under parents that never spoke life over you. They never spoke blessing over you. They never spoke affirmation over you. It was always negativity. It was always doubt. It was always unbelief. And you have carried this your whole life. And you can even see this come out even as an adult. And it's carried out as an adult. It's been carried out as an adult. So here's what we want to do, guys. We want to pray the Lord's blessing over you right now and break some word curses off of you. So that's what we're going to do right now. So Father, in the name of Jesus, God, I speak the Lord's blessings. I speak the word of God over people that are watching this or listening to this podcast today. And if they grew up in homes that were, where they were not affirmed, where they were not, the blessings of God was not over them. The blood of Jesus was not applied over their lives. The promises of God were not spoken over them. And there was words of doubt, and there was words of negativity, and there was words of cursing, and there was words of defamation and just destruction spoken over them. Today, we break those words and those word curses off of them. And we declare the word of Almighty God over you today. I declare today you are blessed. You are highly favored. You are a son and a daughter of the Most High. You shall succeed. You shall prosper. You shall be the head and not the tail. You shall be above and not beneath. You shall lend and not borrow. You shall have your breakthrough. You shall be healed in your body. You shall live and not die, and declare the works of the Lord God. I come into agreement with the words of Jeremiah 29:11 over you, that the Lord knows the thoughts that he has towards you, and they are of good and not of evil, and that you shall have a future, and you shall have a hope, and you shall have an expected end. You shall do great and mighty exploits in the name of the Lord. You shall rise higher than any member of your family. You shall rise above and not beneath in Jesus' name. I declare every curse is broken off of you. Every hex is broken off of you. Every sickness is broken off of you. Every curse from every witch, every warlock, every darkness, whatever it is, every words of negativity that's been spoken over you, declared over you, I declare in the name of Jesus that those powers and those words are broken off of you in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Now, friends, listen to me. Those words will not amount. They will go on empty ears. You've got to do something right now. Now, remember, I told you about the marriage of the mouth and the heart. You've got to receive those words in your heart today. I need you to say this with me. Say, Lord, I believe those words. I believe I'm the head and not the tail. I believe that I'm blessed coming in and blessed going out. I believe I am the head and not the tail. I believe that I am a son. I am a daughter. I am beautiful. I am successful. I am going to do, Lord, what your word says I can do. And I believe that I shall fulfill my purpose and destiny in Jesus' name. Come on. If you believe that today, guys, I'm telling you, I believe things are going to turn around and change for your life, and it will be for good. Guys, I got some stuff I want to share with you today. If you want to keep up with our ministry and get the Keep in touch with everything that we're doing here. If you're watching this by YouTube or watching this by Facebook Live, we do have a free podcast. It's available on Spotify and it's available on Apple. You can go there, type in End Time Headlines. Please subscribe to our free podcast. I want you to subscribe to our free podcast. Again, it's available on Spotify. It's available on Apple as well. Okay. Then I want you to follow us at endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. You can follow us below right there at any of those, right there on your screen. If you're watching this, we're on every major social media outlet, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, Parler, MeWe, and USA.life. And YouTube. We're on every one of those networks. So if you want to follow us, go and find us. Again, End Time Headlines, you can follow us there as well. If you've not downloaded our free app, please do that. Go to the Google Play Store on Android. Go to the Apple Store. Find our Apple app, End Time Headlines. Just click it in. You're going to find that app, and you can download that app. It's available absolutely free. Get the app. Keep up to date with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. Get push notifications as well. You can subscribe as well. Go on our main website. Just click on that little emblem right there, that icon, that graphic where it says subscribe. Click on that. And just type, all you got to do is put in your name, put in your email address, and you will get one daily digest in your inbox every day. I want to encourage you to do that. And as always, we want to invite you to partner with us. If you've not partnered with our ministry, End Time Headlines, you can do that by going to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You're going to see places on there you can support, give, donate. It's on the app. It's all over the place. Click on that. You can give a one-time gift to support our ministry, or you can pray about if the Lord puts it upon your heart. Whatever the case may be, guys, you can partner with us and become a monthly partner as well and help us to remain strong and do what we're doing on a weekly basis with exhorting, edifying, equipping, and informing individuals of the times and seasons which we're in. So you can give electronically or you can give by check or money order. That's right there on your screen. End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, and that's Monroe, Georgia 30655. Again, End Time Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia 30655. So again, guys, as always, we love you. Thank you for taking the time out today to come on here. I hope this has been a great, exhorting, edifying, and equipping message to you. Don't forget to share this. Don't forget to invite people to watch this on Facebook Live, share the link on YouTube, share the podcast if you're watching by podcast. So we love you guys. God bless you. We're going to sign off for today. We will see you again soon.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.